Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come and join us. Come learn with us. We go over so many topics, and really everything that needs to be covered is covered in the month. It's like we don't do like what you see on the mainstream media where we give you a little soundbite on different things, but God has been so good in that. He gives us guests that really gives us wonderful details about certain issues that all of us really need to learn. But today I'd like to start off with quoting some scriptures. We ask God for word daily, and today is just really so beautiful. It is Romans 9, and I've never really understood until today. I think I see a glimmer of what God means in this when he said in Romans 9, verse 16. I've got my contact on. It's hard to read, little print. But it says, for he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not, therefore, depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. And, you know, God is so good. He has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy. And it is really on days like this when Americans are suffering in more ways than one. Unfortunately, our government has become, this administration in particular, has hardened the burden that people have to bear. And I know that finances is very hard for a lot of people, and when finances are hard, you know, it makes everything hard. We're talking about the way sometimes we treat each other, marriages, you know, there's extra burdens on marriages, there's extra burdens on parenting. But I thank God, and I've got Ms. Barbara here with us. Ms. Barbara, I thank God that he is a God whose mercy is new every morning and to whom nothing is impossible. So when it looks like it's impossible for us, wow. You know, God gives us those moments when we just have to cry and say, thank you, Lord, that you have mercy upon us. So with that in mind, I'm going to give it to Ms. Barbara, who always starts us on the right foundation. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Hi, Diana. Thank you so much. And that's such a good word. You know, it reminded me that for a long time now, here in America, we have been praying for God's mercy because we recognize that we have been a sinful nation, that we have turned away from God, and we haven't insisted that the policies that we have here in this country reflect God's principles and His truth and His design for mankind and for our blessing and our benefit. You know, we've turned away from Him. So we have been praying and praying and praying for God's mercy. And we are so blessed when we read the Word of God and we see over and over again that He reminds us of His mercy, His bowels of compassion, that He has compassion upon those who are needy and in need of Him. When we're talking about hard times, you know, I was thinking, yes, financial difficulties are hard times, but in my own life, it was in those financial hardships that I found God's faithfulness, and He became so, I became much closer to Him through those hard times because I had to depend upon Him for everything, to meet all our needs. And He taught me in different ways how to trust Him in this area and that in that area, and so my relationship with Him grew tremendously during those hard times, and I could see in the big things, of course, but in the little things as well, you know, His thoughtfulness to His children. And so, you know, those hard times can be a blessing in disguise because if it makes us turn more to the Lord and grow closer to Him, then those hard times can indeed be times of great blessing. Diana, before we pray, I wanted to also mention that today is Benjamin Franklin's birthday, and everyone in our country, he's one of the few founding fathers that is still acknowledged in this country. And many times he's not acknowledged for the things that I would have him acknowledged for, such as the call to prayer at the Constitutional Convention in 1787. And anything he's not recognized for his petition as president of the Abolition of Slavery Society, his petition to the first United States Congress under the Constitution for emancipation of the slaves, that's not really taught. Just so many things are not taught. He had 1 year of formal education, and yet and he worked full-time from the time he was 10 years old, and yet he was one of the most brilliant men in the world and was the most famous citizen of the world and best loved public figure in the world during his life. He taught himself and learned 6 different languages. He studied the classics. He was a wonderful writer and so on and so forth. So I just wanted to acknowledge the birthday of Ben Franklin today. He was born in 1706, and he lived to a ripe old age. He was in his 80s when he died. He was 81 when he introduced the call for prayer at the Constitutional Convention, recognizing that our human wisdom is never enough. It is lacking. It is not sufficient for the challenges of our day, nor was it sufficient for the challenges in the days of Benjamin Franklin. So with that, let's acknowledge our God. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before You, Lord, praising You for who You are, that You are God, and there is no other. There's none beside You. There is none like unto You, O God. You are God, and You are Almighty God, and we thank You and praise You, Father. We thank You that You're our Father. Father, that You do have a family right here on earth, a family that loves You, that honors You, acknowledges You, depends upon You, Father, and we look to You, O God, to guide us and instruct us in Your ways. Your ways are higher than our ways, and Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. but you desire that we know them. So, Father, you reveal yourself to us in your word. And, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you, a walk with you, Lord, is a continual revelation of you and who you are, and what you're all about, what you like, what you don't like, what you have for each one of us. And Father, you reveal yourself to us as we seek you and trust in you, O God. We thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. There is no salvation in any other. We thank you for eternal life in Christ Jesus. And those who have the Son have life, eternal life. And we pray that, Father, for everyone who listens to this broadcast and their loved ones, Father, their families, their friends as well, Father, that they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and that they would be, Father, shouting from the rooftops, the knowledge of you, Father, the reality of you, Lord, and your truth and your presence with us, Father. In your presence is joy forevermore, and we thank you for that, that we can have some of that right here on this earth as we spend time with you in prayer and in your word. We pray now, Father, for this broadcast, Lord, that we would be pleasing to you, that we would say what you would like to have said, that we would be your vessels, that you would flow through us, Lord, to reach whomever you choose to reach, Father. You show mercy on whomever you choose to show it, and you show compassion on those that you choose to show compassion for. And we pray that, Father, this day for everyone who listens to this broadcast, Lord. We thank you. We ask your blessing, your favor, your mercy, your compassion this day. In Jesus' precious and powerful name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. Oh, I just love it. I love listening to you and your prayers and what you remind us. And we've got our wonderful friend, Don Simmons, with us. Hi, Don.
Hey, Diana. How are y'all?
Oh, we're fine. Me and Ms. Barbara, always glad to hear from you, Don. You know, you who have really opened our eyes to so that we can see more clearly. I dare say Ms. Barbara's eyes were open wider than mine. But it's just really very humbling, you know, listening to the stories that you've shared, Don. You have been so moved because of things that God opened your eyes to, that you wrote a series of books called The Unborn, and you're very much a fighter of the pro-life movement, and we're so grateful for that. But I just want to say this first of all. I think, Don, you know, knowing a little bit about you and, you know, what your surroundings are like almost daily, I think that you probably see a lot of this play between pride and humbleness, humility of heart and pride. And you've probably seen pride destroy, and you've probably seen the hand of God when people do humble themselves. And I guess in a way, Don, it makes this calling that God has put you in more stark, because when you see the most innocent, most beautiful creation of God, a baby, being mutilated and destroyed, you know, you cannot help but really be a spokesperson. Because you see the difference, you know, with God's merciful hand on the people that you see daily, and then why can we not have mercy on the most innocent creation of God that never hurt anybody?
That's a question that I ask just about all the time. I don't understand why this world does not have mercy on babies, on the innocent, most innocent life there is. But we abort babies in such a manner that's more devastating than we execute inmates. And I, for the life of me, I can't understand why anybody can't see that. Recently, the Sandy Hook incident is probably one of the most devastating tragedies to happen to our nation. And I, you know, there's no excuse whatsoever to ever take an innocent life. And, you know, what blows my mind is the pro-choice advocates they jump up and down about what has happened at Sandy Hook, but yet 3,500 babies every day die a more hideous death in the womb than, or just as hideous a death as these children did up there. And they sit back and approve that.
Yeah, and, you know, I just heard in the news where they were saying that Hobby Lobby, you know, it's under duress. I think they've been given a reprieve of a few months to follow, you know, the directives of the Obama administration, you know, Kathleen Sebelius, and they're going to get fined heavily, them, and I think Tyndale also, you know, is facing persecution. But we see the other side, you know, it's like their hearts are so hardened, you know, Don. They have no, it's like they have no idea that what they're doing is wrong, and they're so full of pride.
Yes, that's it. That the heart's waxed cold. You know, a long time ago, as I was growing up, I'm 48, so I was a teenager in the late 70s and early 80s, and I remember my grandparents talking about communism and, you know, and how it would it's trying to work its way into our world and our nation. And when I say our world, I'm talking about our nation as a once Christian nation. And I say that because of the leadership that's now running our country. As I'm defining it by that, I'm hoping and praying that the citizens of the United States are much more Christian than what is going on in our government. But I'm not seeing the liberties and the freedoms that I grew up with. They're diminishing. They're being taken from us, and that's a sign of communism. And I saw prayer come out of schools when I was in school, and you know, we used to early on in my early years, I remember us saying the national we started every day pledging allegiance to the flag and with prayer, and it just it's amazing to me how it's turned now. That's a dirty word to say something about patriotism or liberties or you know, defend the life of a child. It's, everything is opposite of what values this country once had. And that's very disturbing to me that that liberties include the killing of a baby. Now, if you put a shadow or something to hide what happened at Sandy Hook and only talked about it, you know, people wouldn't be nearly as impacted from it until they see the tears of the people and, you know, and the people who saw it. And, you know, that's when they become involved in it. But a baby in the womb is dies alone. Its only viewers is the abortionist and the nurses that help him. So, you know, you're out of sight, out of mind, and we have covered this whole thing in such a fashion to continue a thing called choice. And it's, you know, it is signs of our times, I do believe. I think it is revelation poised to be fulfilled.
Outside, out of mind. Well, they must, Ms. Barbara, when the founding fathers, you know, those pastors of old, the Black Robe Regiment, did I hear that they preached about what was going on in that time? You know, and so they were very, they made people aware of what's going on. And I'm wondering, you know, I really don't know all the things that they preached about, but I'm wondering, you know, something like this, what Don is talking about, the issue of abortion, if that would have been covered in their sermons. Because I think what's happened to the church is we have kind of sanitized the sins of this world. I guess a lot of pastors don't even talk about sin anymore. I mean, they, you know, certainly homosexuality is one of those things that they're being told not to cover.
Well, they did preach about the issues of their day and the wickedness in whatever form it was. There was a time. It was the church that stood up against slavery from the very beginning, and not all of the body of Christ, but for example, some of the in the 1800s here in this country, some of the Methodists were among the first to preach against it, and yet there were many Methodists that went along with it as well. But, you know, as people became their consciences more pricked, you know, more and more Christians stood up for what was right. And it was definitely a Christian movement that worked against slavery and for the abolition of slavery. Here's Ben Franklin back in 1791 in that first Congress that was introducing a petition and a resolution to do away with slavery. At that point, there had been other abolition societies begun before that, and they tried to stand up for what was right, and they began and they tried to preach against it. There was no there was nothing to stop them from preaching against what was wrong in their day, except their own consciences, their own knowledge of it. So when they became aware of it, and they would preach against whatever it was, you know. And I mean that's what we're to do. You know, we can't expect someone who doesn't know right from wrong to preach against wrong and to stand up for what's right. But those of us who do are compelled to do so. We must. We must. Or we are traitors to our good and gracious God.
Well, I just picture pastors under bondage being made a slave to an idol called the federal government or the Obama administration. And Don, I think that's what's happening today. And you know, how can we really blame the congregation? Which I guess we can, because really there's news. So it's a hardening of heart not to want to find out the truth, right? See no evil, hear no evil. You know, and you say, well, I'm doing no evil because I'm certainly not knowing the evil that's going on out there, so therefore I can't do anything about it, cannot be held liable. And I guess it's a little bit of that Pontius Pilate mentality, Don.
That's right. Well, you know, we get complacent in our own lives, abortion is not even a forefront at nowhere close to the forefront of my mind until I was 35 years old, when I actually heard what abortion was and got off my duff and to do something about it. You know, because you know, I have worked in law enforcement for over 20 years, and you know, I took an oath to protect and to serve. And when you do that, you understand that you are defending innocent life wherever it is and however you can. Well, because abortion is legal, you know, you can't take matters into your own hands. You have to fight this thing from the legal standpoint. And you have organizations like Operation Outcry, Women's Rights Without Frontiers. They are two of the foremost leading groups headed by lawyers that have been affected by abortion. Alan Parker with Operation Outcry, Reggie Littlejohns with Women's Frontiers, and they are at the forefront. They are in the trenches in this battle, and the people of our nation sit back and they don't see abortion. They won't know abortion until they see abortion. And you hear the left side, and I say the communist side, because communism has joined that side. You know, maybe not everybody over there is communist on the left side, but that's where the communists come from, because their views are closer to their to the communistic views. So they can hide there. They can't hide on the Republican side. They can't hide where the conservatives are. So everything that is evil is going to come from that side. And, you know, I can't sit here and tell a homosexual, you can't do that, other than say, look, the Bible says that it is a sin, you know. But our nation does not have to condone or allow same-sex marriage, and by doing so, they would adopt that sin equally to the people who are doing it. So the nation becomes punished. Just, I mean, as these homosexuals will eventually be punished. It's going to happen. You know? And God is a forgiving God. He's long-suffering. He doesn't have a lightning bolt at the end of his finger waiting to kill anybody and everybody in his path. He is giving us time to repent. And those of us that will, you know, that's, we're going to find ourselves in good graces with him. But those who don't and reject him and blaspheme against God, their end is going to be very hideous, according to what the scriptures say.
Well, you know, I love that scripture about the Romans chapter 9, about I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. And, you know, it does not depend on our desire or our efforts, but on God's mercy. And Don, I see you're on. I'm sorry, I missed you. my computer went out, and I did not see you were on. But, you know, it's really wonderful that it is all dependent on God's mercy, because I'm thinking to myself, you know, we all have to get to that point of really being humbled. And I'm sure with everybody, that's going to happen sooner or later. It doesn't matter if you're rich or famous or a politician that's high on top of this world. You know, there's going to come a day when you're going to need God's mercy. And I know that many people today are hurting it. You know, like I sang Don earlier, you know, Tyndale, Hobby Lobby, those people are right now under the brunt of this administration's wrath, pretty much. And it's, you know, who knows what if they're going to go out of business or stay in business, Don?
Well, you know, I'd look for
Donald, I'm sorry, I should say Donald. Don Wildman's on, Don Johnson.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to give her just a minute so she knows what I did there. Hey, Don Wildman, I'm so sorry. Can you hear us?
I can hear you. It's no problem. by
hey,
the way,
Don.
Happy belated birthday, Donald.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate it.
You know, I agree with everything Donald says. I mean, and everybody says here about this idea of the right to choose. You know, we spend more time in this country debating the death penalty and whether or not that's humane versus any discussion about abortion. I mean, it appears that our elected seem to have the belief that life is only to be sanctified under certain conditions, and evidently not at the beginning of life, since there seems to be little or no support from that from the majority of elected, unfortunately. And the fact that we get really, what kills me is that even the left gets really upset by the one child policy of China, and so they have these hundreds of thousands of baby girls that are aborted every year. And the left and the women get really up in arms in that, but when you do that as a policy in the United States, evidently it's okie-dokie.
Double standard.
Well, yeah, it's the height of hypocrisy. It's only bad if somebody else does it.
Well, I was just also asking, Don, you know, with businesses like Hobby Lobby and Tyndale, which they're huge businesses and probably will not close as easily as smaller businesses, but I'm just thinking this ruling is going to make quite a few businesses do just that. I mean, why work themselves to death, Don Wallen?
Well, I hope that you have, I saw, I think it was earlier in the week, the CEO of Panera Bread on Fox talking about, you know, all these, the mandates and the individual liberty that's being stripped away from us, you know, obviously goes to those that happen to own businesses as well. And I'm thrilled that we now have all of these really big, important business people who are standing up and standing in the gap.
Me too.
I do too.
I mean, it's really interesting that
before the election.
I bet these people, I bet it's really difficult to get a job at these companies because they probably don't have a huge retention problem. There's actually a business here in town that is very, you know, it's a restaurant and it's a very mom and pop, but the guy is, you know, very conservative. He's definitely a friend to us. And I was told recently there's a 2-year wait list to be hired into his company because it's just that good. I mean, people love it. They treat the employees with absolute dignity and you know, people love what the company stands for. And that's exactly what we see happening with Hobby Lobby, Whole Foods, Panera, Chick-fil-A, Chick-fil-A, whatever. What's the other one you named? There was another business. Anyway. But that's what people like, and I think people like somebody that stands up and says, you know what, enough is enough. This is the line that you're crossing now.
Wow, I think it's really powerful, Ms. Barbara, you know, that praying for one another, because when it all boils down to what it looks so impossible. And right now, you know, all these people are standing up, and thank God they are making the stand. And then you hear these indictments, you know, Kathleen Sebelius and her edict, and I think it was Sotomayor that made a ruling in regarding to, I think, was it Tyndale or Hobby Lobby that we're talking about today. But Ms. Barbara, you know, it really never fails that, you know, what God's word says, that he will have mercy on whom he wants to have mercy. And I think that's a beautiful line, because no matter what these the administration tries to do, God is still sovereign. And, you know, he can still work things out. It is never too late for him to work things out and have mercy and compassion on really these businesses when he chooses to. And I think that's a, you know, that's a really wonderful thing, and I'm sure it's probably what gives these people that peace to say, I'm going to make my stand. I'm going to fight this out.
Well, you know, I think you're right. And I think that if we will take that stand, that's a big if. We've got a lot of work to do to really share knowledge with people and be persuasive and communicate effectively about what's before us. But if we'll do that, I believe God will act on our behalf, and he will have mercy and compassion upon us. But I think it's an, you know, and I know it's not, the work is not dependent upon us, but we do have to stand in the gap. We do have to be willing to stand for what's right. I mean, we do. And once we do, I mean, then I think, you know, he empowers us and he comes to our defense and he shows his mercy. But, you know, I think it's very important that everyone who knows what is right to stand for what is right. And part of that standing means that we help others understand what's right. We've come a long way away from God. And I wanted to go back to something that you said earlier, Don, about how when the American people saw what happened at Sandy Hook, when they saw it wasn't just reading about it, it wasn't just hearing about it, it was when they saw various things about it that they got involved, and it became part of us. When so I was wondering, what do you think? I know that Father Frank Provone has stated that America will not reject abortion until America sees abortion, what do you think about what do you think about that? What do you think about, and how are some ways that we can show what's happening to these innocent children in the womb, most of whom now are aborted for convenience as a method of birth control? What can we do with that regard? In that regard, would you say signs? I know the big pro-life walk is coming up here in January 22nd is the anniversary of the Roe v. Wade, Doe v. Bolton decision in 1973, and so there are going to be hundreds of thousands of people marching on Washington. However, that will not be televised on the most of the TV channels, but that is coming up. So what do we do? Do we show it on signs? What do we do?
I think we continue to show it on signs, because you'll see those signs at the march, and sadly that's the only place you'll see them, unless you see them on a pro-life site, website or something. But the normal media stations, they won't show them. Even Fox News won't show them. They're hideous. You might could watch an operation on somebody's lung, or them remove a tumor, or remove cellulite from a person during an operation. Well, if abortion is not what we say it is, then you should have no problem about seeing the abortion procedures, in full view. Before you start, a picture of the baby, videoed, the during and the after. And what you're going to find is something that no one can handle. Silent Scream was just an ultrasound abortion, and it took me several minutes to be able to get through that, and that was after having seen all of the aftermath abortion pictures, because those were the first things I saw. I mean, I heard the procedures, that was where I was introduced. I saw the pictures. And then I had heard about Silent Scream. I remembered it from, early years. And I went and watched it, and I could only see it in increments, because every time he would describe what was going on and point out, the baby throwing its head back and its mouth coming open and what had happened to cause that. And, all of these things is what affected me, because I thought it was just a blob. I didn't know that this was a baby struggling to survive. And when you see all this, then you know what it is. But the left won't allow documentaries like that to be produced, because it would tear down the abortion business, and it's an industry, a $1 billion industry. And there are those who are running the world population control. They believe that we are vastly overpopulated now, and there's many of us that shouldn't even be here now. So the population to them, for those in power, would like to see our population reduced to probably 4 billion or so, where would be much more comfortable, not as many mouths to feed, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, this is just like tyranny. This is just revelation about to unfold.
I had a question also that occurred to me, Don, about the going toward government health care. Eventually, we could expect that the government will only provide for those who can produce. Do you see that coming?
I do. I really do. That was Hitler's thing. He wanted no dependency whatsoever on the government for the support of your life. He, in other words, if you were handicapped or could not work or whatever, you were eradicated. You were erased. And the first 250,000 people he killed were people that were just like that, that were handicapped, were retarded, were, you know, whatever form of handicap, in a handicapped state that you could think of, they were wiped away. And then he began with the prisoners of war and on and on, and finally to the Jews. But that's what I see coming. You know, they're talking about engineering children now, you know, manipulating their DNA, their genes.
Designer babies.
And, you know, you can order up what you want, a boy or a girl. Well, that may not have been the way God originally designed that child. And now they go changing chromosomes and whatnot to get a different sex, and you'll probably get a confused child that does not know whether he's male or female, or she's male or female. You know, they're playing in an area that is too much of that. That is God's. You know, that's His to say. And of course, if you don't believe in God, then you can go on with it and engineer your Frankenstein, you know, scenarios. But ultimately, He's going to have the final say, whether you believe in Him or not.
Amen.
And the only people that get hurt in all this are the kids. You know, I mean, the unborn. When you think about, you know, every time I hear a story about some great scientist or some great doctor or some great new discovery about something, you know, a cure for cancer, I think, wow, how much could our world be changed and be bettered for all those lives that were never allowed to happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at your own kids and you see the potential and what they become and the joy they bring to their circle of influence, and to think that there are all those wasted lives. And I absolutely agree about the whole, you know, not documentaries not being able to, you know, the left wants to penalize you if you come out with a documentary that's spot on or is very graphic about abortion. But we look at the movie industry as these people are now pummeling us about, you know, the right to bear arms, when they have some of the most violent, graphic, disgusting things that are displayed on a big screen or a television to the point of no return. But you know, God forbid you try to show what an actual child looks like that has been aborted, and, you know, then you become the Antichrist, you know? And
yeah, that's right.
The reality is, I think everybody needs to go look. There was a website somebody had sent me, and it was a new website about, and it was actually fantastic. I thought I sent it to you, Diane. If I haven't, I will. And it was all about all the lives that are lost by women that have died because of abortions. There's another part of the story nobody talks about. And one mother got really angry because her daughter had a botched abortion in this country last year, folks. We're not talking 100 years ago. And so her mother took the pictures from the coroner of what her daughter looked like and what her grandson looked like and put them on a website. And they were totally graphic, totally horrifying. But in looking at it, I said, you know, this is exactly why it is so important. If you don't look at it at least once and be really assured that this isn't a blob, a mass of cells, this is a human being, you know, I think we all need to do that at least once so you remember truly what you're fighting for.
I mean, I can give you a website right now, abortioninstruments.com, abortioninstruments.com, and the very first video you're going to see, be prepared, because it is late-term abortion going on right before your eyes, and it will blow your mind. You know, so if you think these are blobs of flesh, this video will remove all doubt. So, you know, but like I said, be prepared, because it's a Saw movie in it, you know, in itself. It's the horror flick that you don't normally want to go see unless you're into those type movies.
maybe we could use that here in Alabama when we're going to try to get that personhood amendment where persons are recognized from conception to natural death. Maybe we could use that in the fight against abortion and the fight for personhood here in Alabama. What
Amen.
Do you think?
I believe it would be a great idea. And if you, everything on this side is instruments and things that they use in abortion and how they remove them, remove the babies. And if you, I don't see how anybody casting a vote could look at this and go, you know, that's just murder. There's no other question about that. Even a 10-week sucks its thumb. It, you know, it swims in its mother's womb. It plays, you know. How can this be anything other than a child? And when the abortion begins, it reacts in such a way. Normal heartbeat is around 130. Well, if you watch Silent Scream, you will see the heartbeat increase, the rate, up to 200. Now, there's only two emotions I know of that affect your heart rate like that, and that's anger and fear. Can't see anger having anything to do with this heart rate, but I bet it's scared to death.
God having mercy that he's not destroyed us yet with that in mind. Go ahead. I'm part of problems that you...
Well, I was just going to say, you know, maybe we could put this website, we could have a one sheet... just a one piece of paper with things on it, like this website, and, well, we could think of other things as well to put on that one sheet of paper, to put on the desks of our legislators. I remember back years ago when we were working for the to restrict abortion here in Alabama, and one of our local state senators said that before the day that he entered the chamber, the Senate chamber in Montgomery, and on his desk was a pen, a small pen, like a tie lapel pen, and it was the tiny, tiny feet of a child, the size in the womb. I don't remember how many weeks or months of it, but. But anyway, he saw that, and he knew. He knew. I mean, there's no mistaking it. That was a child's foot, you know. And so he changed after that, and he became pro-life. You know, so maybe we could do some of those things this coming February, next month.
Yeah.
Work toward that personhood amendment.
Well, and we're having a conference too, February 9th, Dawn. We'd like to invite you and the people in your area to come. It's going to be an enterprise, and we would like to really, I think that page of, you know, with information like the website that Dawn Wildman was talking about and you, Dawn Simmons, you know, we need to have that information because God does not want us to perish for lack of knowledge, but for too long, information is not being given to the people. And I think it's, you know, it's just like what you're telling us. We're so grateful every month that, Donald, that you keep on it. I love the fact that you, you know, you keep on in Facebook because we need to be reminded. This is so important to God. And the more I listen to y'all, the more I think, you know, God is full of mercy for us not to have already been destroyed. You know, it takes an awfully merciful God to hold back what we deserve. And with that in mind, Doc, what is it that you are wanting us to do, Dawn Simmons, in regard to this issue? I know that you know, you're promoting Operation Outcry, but also you need to tell us about your book, if you don't mind, your book series.
Story, it's a fiction story centered around the Revelation part of the Bible and God's judgment, final judgment, against abortion. I sort of took a Navy SEAL and threw him into the middle of Revelation and let him battle the forces that are trying to
overtake our world. And you know, it's funny when I look at that story and I look at what's going on in the world, I see a lot of similarities, and it just tells me that time's getting real short. You know, it may not be in our lifetime, but I really kind of think it is going to be. But Operation Outcry, you can Google them. Women's Rights Without Frontiers, you can Google that. It's also the name of it, .com, each one of them. So you can go and follow instructions on their page where they are asking for assistance, what you can do. The March for Life is coming up next Friday in Washington, D.C. If you can turn loose and go to that and be a body walking those streets when the march begins. I'm looking for probably over a 500,000 people up there this year. It is the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton that made abortion legal from.
I thought people were having those where they also stand on street corners. Is that, Ms. Barbara, I think you mentioned something about that, the fact that people will have their signs on the highways and byways. Is that the time that they do it too?
No,
yes.
No, that was October. That was in October. But, I mean, it can be done then. Of course it can. But, you know, also,
yes,
y'all,
be
sure, this, the March for Life, there's one in the big one in Washington. There's also one on the West Coast. And both of them are fully televised on EWTN. That's the Catholic Network, Eternal Word Television Network. On most cable companies, you can get it. And I don't know about Dish and all that, probably. But anyway, it's EWTN, and it will be televised, for days. It will be televised. All the speeches will be televised. And, you know, that made me, I was thinking, you know, Dr. Alveda King is just a beautiful, beautiful pro-life warrior. I would not be surprised if she wouldn't come to Montgomery, Alabama in February when we work to get this personhood amendment. I think she would come, and we could do a press conference.
I think she would.
And talk to, we could go from congressperson to congressperson and plan some events with her.
Great idea, Ms. Barbara. Great idea.
That would
idea.
Be a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah, and, well, I think that's got Ms. Barbara's mind working now. So it's going to happen. And go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just saying that, I thought that's a great idea. Alveda would be a great speaker, and she's very, very adamant about saving babies, and her background is gives such weight to that. She's a phenomenal speaker. I love listening to her.
Well, Don, give us the name of your book again and how they can get it. It's on Amazon, and is it on an e-book now also?
Yes, you can get it in the electronic version as well. The Unborn Guardian is the first one, and The Unborn Sacrifice is the second one. So it's two in the series, and they complete the story. And it's a very entertaining read, I think. It's high impact and kind of throws you into the middle of things, and I like a read like that.
Wow. Well, thank God for what you're doing, Donald Simmons. We're so grateful. And we're going to ask in close, Donald, would you like to close us in prayer? I know that this is such a burden, and really it's a burden that all of us need to bear. And may God have mercy on those that do not know what they're doing. May he help them to see the light, the truth. And for us that do know what's happening, may God help us to do what we need to do. But anyway, I'm going to turn it over to you, if you don't mind, and let us close you in prayer. Don Waldman, do you have any closing thoughts or comments to Don Simmons?
No, just keep up the great work, getting the message out. I know Saturday we're here in San Diego, we have a walk for life, and the 22nd, Sacramento will have the large walk. And so, you know, we're hoping a lot of people come out and start spreading the message.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to have one too in our part of the state, Ms. Barbara. You know, we need to have that walk too. But anyway, go ahead, Donald Simmons, if you don't mind to close us in prayer.
Okay. Lord God, we humbly come to you, thanking you, giving praise to you first and foremost, so that we might stand before you holy. We thank you, God, for everything that you do, for all the things that you've given to us. And Lord, we apologize for what we've done with the gifts that you've given us in this world, the treasures that you sent us, and the babies, and how some have turned their back on what precious gold that they are. Lord, we pray, God, that each and every life, young and old, black and white, rich and poor, that you would touch their lives, and they would see that the life of a child and the life of our elderly and any life in between is worth protecting and worth sacrificing for, God. And we pray, God, an end to this thing we call abortion, this legal murder of an unborn child, that people would open their eyes and they would see firsthand that this atrocity, this Holocaust, this murder of an innocent baby that has never harmed a soul in his life, that you will not forget that their blood is innocent. And your word says that you hear the innocent blood call from the earth. And Lord, we know that abominations will not go unaddressed, and that you will eventually take your mighty hand and smother out the evil in this world. Lord, we pray, God, for the repentance of all, that they would come to know you, and that we would all be able to gather together as a family under your mighty love and in your kingdom, God. We give you praise, honor, and glory, God, for all things. We pray for our nation, the administration that is overseeing it, God, that they would open their eyes and they would realize that the freedoms and the blessings this nation has so enjoyed for years are because of you and because this nation reverenced you, and that we have got to get back to that we have got to remember that you are our God and our love and the reason that this country has been so great. We thank you, God, for all things and pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Donald, and thank you, Don Waldman and Miss Barbara. You know, today is one of those days where I'm just really so grateful for God's mercy. And for those that are listening that do not know our Lord and Savior, I just want to say that, you know, He created you, and he is really so proud of his creation. But, you know, it takes walking with him to really realize fully, you know, what is the best for you. And so we pray and hope that someday you will understand what we are talking about. But remember, his mercies are new every morning, and he loves you. So we thank the listeners for tuning in today. We invite you to come on again tomorrow on City on a Hill. May God bless you, and may God shine his face upon you. Goodbye.